This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Michigan has itself a tougher new approach to human trafficking and the sex trade. That's because a new package of laws kicked in early last month. Bridget Carr is a University of Michigan law professor. She served on the state task force whose human trafficking report helped to guide the legislature as they crafted this new package. Bridget, Governor Snyder used words like proud, and Attorney General Bill Schuette said he was elated with this package. A lot of praise in Lansing. How do you and other advocates feel about what we have now?
Well, I think we should be happy that we took some steps forward, but it's a long race, and we have a lot of heavy lifting to do to still make our approach to combating human trafficking truly victim-centered in Michigan.
So it's not victim-centered now, you believe? When you say truly victim-centered, I'm kind of hearing a sense of not where you think it should be.
Well, in order to make an anti-trafficking approach victim-centered, we need to recognize victims as victims because of what's happened to them. And that requires a paradigm shift for many victims, especially those in the commercial sex industry. We have to stop thinking of them as criminals and treat them fully as victims. And we haven't done that yet. We've taken some crucial steps in this package of bills to move towards that, but we can still see that what we're keeping victims now as is sort of a victim-criminal hybrid.
Well, before we get into the details, especially the couple of laws that are, I think you feel are particularly significant, give us a sense, if you can, of how much human trafficking is happening in Michigan. And I say if you can because I suspect this is something very hard to quantify.
Well, it's an example of how we haven't moved people from the criminal paradigm to the victim paradigm, because we can't say how much human trafficking exists if we don't even have boxes to check to count victims as victims. And so we're moving towards that. But we aren't counting people. For example, in Washtenaw County, the human trafficking clinic, which I direct at the law school, recently worked to set up a human trafficking court in Washtenaw County where every single person arrested for prostitution or related crimes is put in a diversion court. Those numbers in our state system are prostitution arrests. For us in the human trafficking clinic, many of those individuals are victims of human trafficking but aren't counted anywhere in our state system as victims. And so that's the kind of change we have to make in order to get a really good, reliable prevalence number.
As you work in the clinic with victims, give us a sense, if you can, are there common themes in their stories?
Well, the common theme is vulnerability, and traffickers are phenomenally adept at identifying vulnerability and exploiting it for profit. You know, human trafficking has this phrase that people think it must be so foreign and so exotic. It's really pretty basic. How do people profit off of other people's vulnerabilities, whether that's poverty, immigration status, previous history of abuse, lack of a stable family? And traffickers are really good at it, and they're better at it because so much of our criminal justice system makes it high reward, low risk proposition for them to do. It's much more likely that my clients are going to go to jail than the traffickers are.
And give us a sense who your clients are.
So in the Human Trafficking Clinic at Michigan Law School, we serve U.S. citizens and foreign nationals, men, women, and children, and victims who have been exploited in both labor trafficking and sex trafficking. Sex trafficking gets the majority of the media attention, but our clients are predominantly labor trafficking victims, from agricultural work, restaurants, hair salons. And we have sex trafficking victims too, don't get me wrong, but we serve the majority of our clients are labor trafficking victims.
Boy, that is something to think about. So the person that could be picking the apples in the field or doing someone's nails or that we might encounter and have no idea.
Exactly. Or someone who is serving as a maid in someone's home and is held in domestic servitude. It's all around us. And it's hard because this is a crime that for it to happen, we have to all look the other way. Mm-hmm. And right now we really are doing that. Some of it's because we don't know, and some of it's because we don't want to see. To acknowledge that dark side of what's happening in our neighborhoods is really hard.
So let's talk about this package of bills in terms of new laws, really, in terms of effectiveness, not only in punishing traffickers, but also in helping victims of human trafficking. And of these 21 bills, you seem to feel a couple of them are really the most significant. I want to start with what was House Bill 5025, Safe Harbor Dependency. Talk about that with us.
So in Michigan, prior to the passage of this bill, if there was a minor found, for example, on State Street in a hotel at 2 a.m., a law enforcement officer really had two choices. Charge that minor with a juvenile crime. Like we have a case where a minor who was being sold for sex, she was a 14-year-old being sold for sex, she was held on possession of tobacco as a minor. Because that law enforcement officer knew his other option was to let her go and be on the street to be sold again that night. That is not a choice that we should make any of our law enforcement officers make. As a mother of young children, I would deeply struggle with that choice.
Yeah.
And so really this bill, the Safe Harbor Dependency Bill, gives law enforcement officers and other first responders a third option, which is you can treat them as victims of sexual abuse. What you would do in a hotel room if you found someone being sexually abused without $50 on the nightstand. We now can put these kids into child protection as victims, not in the juvenile justice system as
offenders, as delinquents. Tobacco or whatever thing that he's using.
And that shift is just extremely important, because if we start off saying to people, well, the only way you get services because we have found a way for you to be a delinquent, we're always going to see them through that delinquency framework. And instead we say, well, what happened to you is why you get services, because you have been exploited and mistreated. And if we start with that proposition, I think that we'll see even long-term benefits of how clients like mine even think about law enforcement and the criminal justice system.
And think about themselves.
Now,
House Bill 5026, the set-aside bill. You feel that there's some deficiencies here.
Well, the set-aside bill is a great example of something that is desperately needed. Heavy lifting was done on the bill. And what this bill says is that for certain prostitution crimes, victims of trafficking can go in and say, I was a victim when this happened, and I need these to be erased from my criminal record.
So it could be any time down the road after this conviction.
Right. And that's crucial. Mm. But where the heavy lifting didn't go quite far enough is that even for the majority of my clients who are victims of sex trafficking and have prostitution crimes, they also have an array of other crimes that their trafficker forced them to do. Many, if not most times, involving financial fraud, write bad checks, commit welfare fraud, file this document that isn't true. And so I can clean up in many ways some of the prostitution crimes, but I can't make my client whole from a criminal justice perspective from what she was forced to do
by her trafficker
for his or her profit, right? It's all about profit, because traffickers are smart. If I can sell this woman for sex and I can also get her to get benefits and sign them over to me and lie about it and then do a check cashing fraud scheme, I'm going to make more profit. And I also know that I'm going to make this woman even more vulnerable, because if she has these criminal convictions on her record, she can't get a legitimate job.
And society sees her as a wastrel and and a fraudster and a hooker, and you take all of those labels. A criminal.
Yes, exactly. And this bill allows me to fix some of the things that the trafficker has done, but not all of them. And so that's the type of heavy lifting we have to still do.
Does the package toughen up the penalties and make it crack down more on the perpetrators of these crimes?
It gives law enforcement and prosecutors some more tools to do the work they need to do. It also cleans up some of the legislation that exists in the past and makes it clearer. We just have a lot of work to do to convince people, kind of with what you started out with, that it happens in their neighborhoods, this is part of our community, and that we need to start identifying it and helping people.
There are a lot of high aspirations contained in this whole big package of these 21 new laws. Is the funding there to make them happen?
It's not. But I may be not as negative about that position. Look, we need funding, but we have to be realistic about the reality of Michigan's budget woes. However, we need to acknowledge that we are already paying the price for these victims being in the criminal justice system as criminals. It is not free to house someone in jail. It is not free to house a woman and then put her children in foster care because she's charged as a prostitute. So my hope is that we can recognize how we're already paying for services, if you will, that go to these victims, and that instead of criminalizing them and paying for them that way, we can put the funds in a place like we're doing in Washtenaw County, bringing the services that we really need for these victims and pay for them that way in hopes that they can then heal and move on.
Do you think there's a sympathetic ear in Lansing for doing that?
I don't know. I'm hopeful that the model we're building in Washtenaw County can be viewed as one that is possible to spread statewide. And we're just really taking discretion and resources that already exist and trying to use them in a different way. It will really take, though, completing the paradigm shift, which is to say that we can't treat them as victim criminals. They're victims. They've been exploited. And the services they receive are because of that exploitation, not because of how they behave afterwards or if they comply or if they're the perfect victim. It's because of what has happened to them, not what they do afterwards.
Bridget Carr is a University of Michigan law professor. She's with the Human Trafficking Clinic in Washtenaw County and served on the state task force whose report on human trafficking helped the legislature craft the new package of laws that has kicked in now, intended to crack down on human trafficking and sexual coercion in Michigan. It's been a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.